time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome to the Sports Hangover. Got a ton to get into today. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in via the Rooterman Can Caller and Guest Hotline. 800-998-1003. This just in. It's Eclipse Day. You probably already know that right now. Cloudy skies over here in the New Orleans area. Wonder if you can see some of the sun at all via the TV. Partial eclipse starting over in Mexico, so it's kind of starting here. I know some schools are out early and such, so just don't look at the sun. At least not without some eclipse glasses, if you can actually see it or not. Totality in Mexico starts in an hour and is going to move kind of northeast throughout the country and stuff. So if you're into that, it'd be kind of cool to kind of be able to see it. But it's cloudy around over here, so I don't know if you'll be able to pop up and see it if you have those eclipse glasses as well. Got a ton to get into in the world of sports, though, and conversation as we reach here in hour number one. No Wake Outfitters, they present you hour number one each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing and the Gulf Coast. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. NoWakeOutfitters.com. Super excited to be there this Friday. Specials, deals, all kinds of... they'll be teaching you how to do some fly fishing and stuff. They have a demo pool next to it. So excited about that as we get closer towards the end of the week. Joining us today on the show, we'll have head coach Lisa Stockton, as she is retiring from Tulane and saw at the gym. Like, hey, let's talk a little women's basketball, obviously, as the national championship was secured and won by South Carolina, who finished the season undefeated yesterday. And we'll talk to her about that, what she thought of it. The call back on Friday, was it a call? Shouldn't have been a call. Do you make the call? The UConn offensive foul in the pick. Look, my thing is this. It's easy for a lot of people to say, you don't call it in that moment. I got you. You remember the Nola no call? A foul is a foul. When you start getting into being subjective as an official as to the timing and when it should be, I just think you call a foul, it's a foul. Believe me, especially that night when the Pels lost to the Spurs and you saw Jonas Valanciunas, you saw Larry Nance Jr. get called for moving picks or screens when they didn't even move anywhere near or throw out the chicken wing like the UConn player did and get fouls. Yeah, that stunk. So, anyway, we'll discuss all of that with her. Coming up at 12:30, The Graph, as he will talk about the big win yesterday that took place in Phoenix for the Pelicans. A much, much needed win.
Oh, Zion
with the jumper
pulls up from 10 feet around and down. Are you kidding me? What in the world did I just see?
The mini.
It's like the Sasquatch.
What is that?
We'll talk with Graf about that. The calls are great. I'll play them for you yesterday. That win was massive. You absolutely needed it. So we'll talk to him about that. 12:45, Nick calling from the Nola Gold, as they were unable to get the win here at the Goldmine on Airline back on Saturday. Rafael Esparza at 1:15, WrestleMania. We'll touch on that, NBA, all of that here as well, including Marlon Favre at 2:15 and Leo Haggerty at 2:30. So all of that is in store. You can chime in via the Rooterman Can hotline, 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, love to hear from you, buddy. We'll say hello to you back over in the LaRose studios. Let's get off and running with today's lead.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead? The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
Congratulations, you have reached it. The final season, or the final week of the regular season. in the NBA. It is this week. That is it. Pelicans. Oh, my goodness. They had lost a couple in a row. How did they lose on Friday to the Spurs? Zion didn't play because of his finger. He's getting called out. Fire Willie, the mascot. I mean, no one was happy on Friday, and I get it. Especially with the prospects of having to go get on a plane, face a team in Phoenix who had been playing really well, and just the week before at your place in one of the games of the homestand earlier that week. As a matter of fact, you saw Devin Booker drop 52 on you for a third straight game. He dropped 50. It didn't feel good. It didn't feel good. Official watch party yesterday over at Bayou Beer Garden. The amount of people I walked up to, me and Aaron Summers, are like, how do you feel about this? I'm like, I mean, no one felt good going into that game. It's not that you don't want your team to win. It's not that you're not rooting for the city's team to win. It's just they were struggling. It was a struggle bus all the way around during that homestand. 1-5, have to go out on the road. You've gone from 4th in the Western Conference. You're now in 7th. Everybody below you is getting closer. There's LaBooBoo and the Lakers just a game and a half behind you. The Kings are a game behind you. The Warriors just 3 behind you, and there's 5 to play. I can't breathe. And then the first quarter starts, and the Pels were trailing. Here we go again. Pels were at least battling, but at the end of one, Phoenix 26, New Orleans 19. New Orleans then won the second quarter and won it 37-24. Won the third quarter 34-33. Won the fourth quarter 23-22. Win the game 113-105. Massive, massive win. That's what it sounded like on the Pels Radio Network. The Graph, JD, enjoy.
Zion, heart of the rim. Clear space by putting a left shoulder down, putting Kevin Durant on ice skates and lays it in.
Well, finger that.
Oh, my. Reach in her, poked it away, but Beal somehow got it back, and then Zion smashed another block.
That's two weak side blocks for Z.
Stop, pop, three, McCollum. Nothing but net from the right wing.
Roll them up and smoke them, CJ.
Six threes for McCollum.
And Jose released because Book flopped, so he almost got a layup out of
him. Oh, Zion
with a jumper.
Pulls up from 10 feet around and down. Are you kidding me? What in the world did I just see?
Z-mini.
Like the Sasquatch.
What is that?
Now Jose, wide open, left wing three. That is his season high fifth of the afternoon. He's got 15 points.
He has just come out shooting.
Got it to Beal. Beal, hand check, drives in, takes three. He's got the tire block, another one.
And Z says, give me that.
Up the floor, Murphy. Murphy, Euros in. He walked.
He
didn't call
several
it.
Steps.
Now Zion splits defenders, somehow soars and scoops.
That pass wasn't even for him. He stole that from Herb.
5 minutes to go. We're officially in clutch time. Pels are 12-14. Williamson, mid-range again, no! 15 feet left of the lane, nothing but net.
Z-Mitty. Let's just give him a new name. He cannot be stopped. If he can make that shot, what are you going to do defensively against Zion Williamson?
He just pulled up from 15 feet.
Pull-up jumper from Zion.
Durant, deep right wing. Eubank sets a pick. Durant, Euros in. Bumped up behind by Zion! My heavens!
Z has cleaned up the trash several times. That's his fifth block.
Zion has got 25. Size it up, Nurkic. Takes it right at him. And will throw it down with a right hand, Big Z!
Z with the rumble, young man rumble.
And he went off hand. Durant backs off, goes through the legs. Ball on the deck. It rolls to McCollum with two. With one, running right hand. Floater is good for CJ, and that puts him over 30 points.
Well, I don't know if Z gets an assist for that.
Chicken salad.
But he did everything possible to make that basket happen. Got a little chicken salad out. He did get it. How did he get an assist for that?
Shot clock at 14. Now the ball's in Williamson's hands with 10. Up four. Chess it to McCollum. Not much going on here. Back to Z with five.
Gotta go.
Gotta go. Hard to the rim. Throws it up. Got the roll with a left hand. Oh, my heavens, Williamson. He went through the entire Suns defense.
Are you not entertained on this Sunday afternoon?
There you go. I can't. Where do you begin? For starters, that was an absolute much-needed team win. Head coach Willie Green on how the team came through when, let's be honest, a lot of us probably didn't think they were going to get that victory yesterday.
It's a credit to the character in our locker room. It's a credit to our staff, our entire staff, not just coaches, front office, managers, performance. Everybody, we stick together. Through difficult times, we don't panic. We don't point the finger. We stick together. And we know we will come out of it better. And sometimes you got to go through some difficulties, which we did, and the timing wasn't great. But this is a resilient group.
The next thing you have to discuss and talk about was the game Zion Williamson put on yesterday afternoon. For starters, the two mid-range jumpers he hit, Andrew Lopez tweeted yesterday, earlier today, it was Zion's first time making multiple two-point jumpers outside of 10 feet in the same game per second spectrum tracking data. It's a shot that he's been working at practice. Now he's displaying it, and he's showing it. And Zion said, hey, look, he understands that people are going to start doing things and that he has to adjust to that, add to his bag.
Absolutely, especially with how teams are guarding me. Definitely just got to find a easier way to mix in some other buckets like that.
All right, so that's nice. It's cute. It's fantastic to see him add that, those little left elbow jumpers and such. The way he played that game, though, it's impossible for you to not understand and recognize the importance of that. And he got a lot of grief online. And, like, I understand the fan base is you were in fourth. I hear you. They sat him down on Friday. How do you sit and not play a game that you need? Well, first off, you probably should have been able to beat San Antonio without him. And you need him this week. You need him that stretch. And it's not your finger. It's not my finger. I don't know if they feel that he's incapable of playing or giving him a game in order for that thing to heal. And I can see what I saw yesterday. Are you complaining now? That was Zion's best game as a Pelican. I legitimately feel that way. It's not even the points that he did yesterday, which were pretty magnificent. 29 points. It's the other things in the box score that stood out to me. 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks, a steal, 40 minutes of action, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He was absolutely everywhere. Everywhere.
He's been getting better and better defensively as the season has progressed. And Zion was, he was everywhere. I mean, he was guarding the ball. He was blocking shots, coming up with big-time offensive rebounds, attacking the basket, making his free throws. Incredible performance. He carried us.
So, here's the thing. You heard Coach Willie Green say he carried us. You saw a moment in that game, and you felt it. He wouldn't. It's what we've been wanting. It's what you've been asking for. He wasn't going to let them lose. I'm not losing. I'm not losing today. We're not losing today. He took, you heard it in the highlights. He took a pass that I don't think was for him. It might have been for Trey Murphy. He just grabbed it. He went down the lane and dunked it. He wasn't waiting. He was blocking shots. He was rebounding. He was scoring. My favorite was the fist pump. It was the Tiger Woods fist pump. We hadn't seen that. Man, it was just incredible to sort of see. And he was asked about it after the game, about the fact that it looked like he was there to take over.
I don't remember which possession it was exactly, but I don't think we got the shot we won. And I just looked at Larry and said, "Find me, just find me, and I'll make a play for us." Like I said, taking it one game at a time. My fault. Taking it one game at a time and just going out there and competing.
And I love hearing this if I'm a Pels fan. Because if you want to be Durant, if you want to be LeBou, if you want to be Steph, if you want to be one of these greats, you want to be Tatum, you want to be these guys, you're judged on having moments in games like this. I know it's a regular season game. It was a big regular season game. And you needed your best players there. Look, we hadn't even got to CJ McCollum's 31 points, 41 minutes for him as well. Those two guys led the way. They did what they had to do yesterday. Here's Zeke.
It's just kind of one of those moments. People remember the greats because of key moments. Whether it's in the playoffs or a key regular season win, people remember moments. And, you know, if I want to be one of those players, I got to make it happen in those moments.
8:20 tonight, the men's national championship game. Number one seeded UConn, number one overall seed Purdue. 8:20, the women's national championship was decided yesterday afternoon. Iowa and South Carolina gave us a pretty thrilling game. Lisa Stockton joins us to talk a little bit about that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
You know, it's a heavy load to be undefeated, to, you know, finish the job. And you get emotional because you just want that for them, and you're happy that you're able to, you know, because only one team wins a national championship.
South Carolina, your national champions this year in women's basketball, 87-75 as they defeat Iowa. Coach Lisa Stockton joining us to talk a little bit about what we saw in the Final Four, where women's basketball is right now. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you for giving us your time this afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gus. Thanks for having me.
Yep, for sure. Look, you just heard Coach Staley talk about the weight of trying to go undefeated and the pressure that goes. Obviously, you coached for a little bit there. Can you even try to put into perspective what being undefeated and doing that is, where the game is right now? I know we saw UConn and some other teams do that in the past, but I feel it's as competitive as it ever is right now, huh?
Definitely. I mean, there's so many great teams out there and great players, and you look at them in the SEC, you know, great conference, and being undefeated. Yeah, they even play UConn in the non-conference, so they're non-conference and stuff. But it's an incredible thing, and you look at, for her, losing all her starters a year ago and basically reloading and being able to go undefeated, it's pretty incredible.
When you look at that team, and really in this Final Four here, so much was looked at, and you saw the millions of viewers that timed in on Saturday's game. Look, South Carolina got going in that second half and did what they needed to do over NC State. And you have the UConn-Iowa game that ends 71-69. Coach, that game lived up to all the billings. And you, what was it, 14 million, I think, is what people saw that game?
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah, it's so great, you know. And it's funny because I'm a big Saturday Night Live fan. And you know, the other night on Saturday Night Live, they were talking about the women's. Like, they wanted to see the real basketball, not the men's, but the women's. And I thought it was a great skit, you know. But I do think it's been incredible, the interest and the stars in our game. Have certainly been an interest of people. But then in the meantime, as it's happened, they've been able to watch some incredible basketball. And although South Carolina's got many stars, you know, I think the interest in South Carolina has been more just about how the team played and just how consistent they were.
Yeah, no doubt. And when you look at that game, what stood out to you? Because, look, Caitlin Clark finished with 21 points, and you saw UConn just have someone shadow her the entire game, whether she had the ball, whether she didn't. And just to kind of make her work even more on that, I thought their defense, and look, we've seen firsthand, that was the thing that stood out to me with UConn, so much is their offense. I'm like, when we play them in Tulane, they're so defensive-minded and oriented and physical, right?
Yes, and I think that the thing with South Carolina, I mean, their defense has always been good, but it's incredible this year. But I think the thing they did really well is they just scored. I mean, they were able to shoot the three. That's probably the difference in them this year and last year is just their consistency from the three. But if Iowa didn't score, they came down and scored. So they really put so much pressure on Iowa to try to keep up with them. And it was just a well-played game on both ends. But, I mean, South Carolina just took it into a different gear.
Yeah, no doubt. It's crazy when you look at all the attention, and we mentioned the ratings. And look, Friday, we're doing the show, Coach, and it was a 2-1 in terms of ticket costs. People wanted to go and look at this Final Four and where they are. I know Caitlin was a big reason for that, but we kind of touched on it the last time we had you on the show, too, about where the game has sort of grown. And I guess my question to you is, can that momentum continue? What are some of the reasons you absolutely think that next year it's going to be just like this again?
Well, I think there's an interest in women's basketball, and you don't just go away from it because some players graduate. I mean, you still got some great players. You got Juju at USC, and obviously Beckers, and you got all these different players that are still around. But I think once you value the game, and they really, I've had so many people talk to me just about how interesting the game was, just how fundamental and all that, and how interesting the game was. So I definitely think when people are following women's basketball, they'll continue to follow it because they're fans now.
And when you look at this state here as well, obviously with LSU winning a year ago, and then we're going to get to you passing the reins to somebody that you coached in a point guard, which is kind of incredible to look at it too, and Ashley Langford, so much of this state has pretty good basketball, huh?
Oh, this state's been incredible for basketball. When you look at the tradition, I mean, you can't forget about Louisiana Tech and what they did for so many years. And you know, LSU and some of the great players have come out of the state. And, you know, a lot of WNBA players, when you look at different players that have been a high level in the WNBA, they've been from Louisiana. Simone Augustus. And, I mean, you've got all these players there. And so it has been for a state that's our size, that's not a great big population. The women's basketball and girls' basketball in the state has been really good.
Do you think one of the reasons, and I was kind of, I wouldn't even say speculating, I just think when you see just the time that I was with you guys, just the talent level rise, the heights. I mean, some of these players, athletic-wise, size-wise, all that has continued to grow. But it's no different than what you see with the men and in other sports here as well. I think kids are starting a lot earlier. There's more coaching. There's more clinics. I know, Coach, you and your staff for years go to the Final Four and do all these different forums and talk, and then you guys do a lot of clinics. I just feel like the game has reached out to so many different levels to where by the time girls are going into high school, even college, their games are just further along than maybe they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. Would you agree with that?
You know, I think the game, there's a lot of the skill has developed, and you got big kids that can step out and shoot the three. Like, again, you talk about Connecticut when we played them for years. I mean, they can all shoot the three, and that's changed. But I just think there's more people playing, and when you have more depth, which is what the men have had for years. Yeah, the men have had such depth that a Gonzaga could come up and beat, you know, North Carolina, because there's so much depth and parity in the nation. And now I think you're seeing that on the women's side, that there's so much. You look at the Pac-12. This is the last year of the Pac-12, and they were so good. It was the number one conference in the country, and they're so good. And there's so many teams that are knocking off other teams. So I think that's what's made it a little more exciting, not just the skill level, but just how many great players there are.
Yeah, that's true. I can't wait. Like I said, I was excited just watching these games, even though I was trying to watch the Pels game on Friday. And now we wait for another season. Coach, speaking of, a couple weeks ago you decided it was time for you to go enjoy the beach and hang out and do different things. And you're going to pass the reins to the program to a player that you coached, and Ashley Langford. She's going to be introduced tomorrow officially. But I mean, what's that like in having somebody that you played games with, coached, and to see her kind of get to this point and take over your program?
Well, it's still so kind of surreal for me. You know, I think you don't really imagine that that's the way it will be. You know, I joked when at my press conference that I was going to be Roy Williams. I was going to go out there and pull for the team that I'd coached for so long. I had no idea that I would have a point guard to pull for just like Roy, right? But it's great, and I think that you know, some of our players, like Ashley, have gone out and have coached at different levels. Like, she's been an assistant, she's been a head coach, she's been a very successful head coach for the last 3 years. It's incredible. And I think that, you know, she's a person that loves Tulane like I do and like our players on our team do. And, you know, I'm excited for her, and I'm excited for the program. Yeah, like I said, I want to take a different seat. I'm ready for that. But I do think that it's the future's gonna be great, and she's gonna bring her style, and it's gonna be fun.
It's going to be interesting, Coach, because I'm now coaching Carver in Little League. I had to remove myself a little bit from when I like to play, that competitive nature stuff. I don't know if I could ever just sit in the stands and do that. That's why I guess I'm coaching now. But it's going to be fun, I guess, to an extent, to kind of sit there and root for a lot of your players who are still going to be on that team, and then also to see a staff that you're familiar with next year. But can you think you'll be able to do it and not want to call a timeout or yell at an official?
Yeah. I think the one thing that I'm so at peace with is I really, 37 years of coaching, I had a lot, and I had a lot of those times, and I'm ready to be a fan. So I'm sure I will be very nervous for Ashley because I want her to succeed so much. Mm-hmm. But I do want to sit back, and there's so many different ways of doing it, and I want to sit back and just cheer her on and, kind of let her run with it. So I think I can. Now, I can't say I can't. Oh, yell at the officials. I don't know that I would ever do that. They really deserve that. But I will say that I'm really excited for the future of the program, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, I got to ask you this. The final question, Coach, we'll let you go. Should that foul have been called on Friday night or not?
It's a foul. I hate to say it. I think all of us know we hate that something came down to that. When you look at that whole situation and what happened, it was, I don't think our offensive linemen have blocked like that this year. So, I do think that you got to make that call because, again, Beckers hit that shot, and that was a great. I disagree with people. I think Gino did a great job of trying to get her shot quickly, and it just wasn't executed as well as it needed to be. But it really has to be called because I don't know where the line would be if it's not.
Well, and that's the thing, Coach, because that's how I was looking at it. Yep, because I that's how I feel. I mean, what if you don't call that? That shot gets open, and that three net wins the game. I mean, you're on now on the other side. And look, and we've seen it. And, Coach, I know you're a huge Saints fan. We've talked about it at times in the airport and just on the buses on trips. I mean, the Nola no call. I mean, if an official starts getting to the point where he or she is subjectively deciding whether this is the appropriate time to call that's a whole different realm that you shouldn't be in, right? Because you want to take that away.
Yeah, but you've got to make sure that they call the game. Now, if it's marginal, somebody tagged twice and it didn't interfere, if it didn't interfere with the play, I don't think you have to call it. But I definitely think that interfered with the play, so I think you have to call it. And if Caitlin Clark's career ended then because they didn't make that call, there would be just as much outrage the other way. So I think the officials probably feel better about making the call than not, because otherwise, they swallow their whistle.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because, again, I think UConn played so well. I mean, they played so well. And, Gino did a great job coaching that game, just his strategy and all that. You hate to lose on that, but Becker said it after that. There's a lot of things they could have done prior to that, but not put them in that position. And I think as a coach, you got to take that stance too, is that, maybe there's some things you could have done at the beginning of the quarter that would have made a difference. But it's tough though. It was great to see it go down to the wire, but it's tough with that one.
Coach Lisa Stockton, thank you for your time this afternoon. Talk a little bit about the Final Four. And I'm already kind of excited for next season, see where it's at. Some really good college basketball in store for us. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. The Graf will give us his thoughts on a massive win in Phoenix yesterday. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Sports Hangover. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters on ESPN New Orleans.
How can we be excited about a show?
Call our guest hotline. Brought to you by Ruderman. Ruderman Can. Go check them out. RudermanCan.com is the way to do so. Oh, my goodness. Last night was pretty big in the world of your New Orleans Pelicans in terms of being able to get that win. One of the many highlights yesterday.
Zion with the jumper.
Pulls up from 10 feet. Around and down. Are you kidding me? What in the world did I just see?
Z-Mini.
It's like the Sasquatch.
What is that?
Ty Graffinini, voice of the Pelicans. Carver believes in Bigfoot, so I guess if he believes in Bigfoot, I guess we can believe in mid-range Zion Williamson.
Hey, man. look, I was just stunned as anybody in the building. I mean, just look at the bench. Look at the highlights of the Pelicans bench, especially after he made the second one. And I wasn't exaggerating. I think Andrew Lopez's tweet later on in the evening kind of backed up what we were saying. I mean,
yeah,
he just...
It's never happened.
He hasn't done it. He has not done it. So, look, and it's not like he hadn't worked on it, because he does work on that shot during after practice every single day in the gym. So just to see him, though, go out there and actually do it in the situations that he executed. And trust me, Gus, you listen to the game and watch the game. Every possession was huge down the stretch of that game. For him to be able to pull those two jumpers up in basically clutch time situations was big. And he's going to have to continue to do it because of the way that defenses are now playing him. And, you know, we can get into the X's and O's of it, but look, they are basically backing off of him every time and allowing him to drive into the lane. And that's sometimes when we see him get stripped, or sometimes he gets the shot blocked, or he'll make the layup. But in this case, if he starts pulling up from 10, 8, 15 feet, it's going to be extremely difficult to start guarding him now, and especially sagging off, as we're starting to see that trend in the recent games. So, hey, I'm all for it. Whatever gets it done. I tell you, just being on that on the bus, Gus, and getting on the plane, and just seeing everybody's faces, and like, that was big. There's no doubt about it. But just to see everybody with a smile on their face, and I mean, I think it was a mix of happiness and relief.
Yeah.
Yesterday after that, and look, we talked about it after the game, and I've said it in interviews prior. It's really strange in the NBA, Gus, is when you're winning and you're on a streak. It's, man, let's get to the gym. I can't wait to play another game. And the thing about it is, in the NBA, you basically are playing every day or every other day. It's like, there's no way we're going to lose tonight. And then when it's the opposite, and you're in a stretch like the Pelicans were at the end of the homestand, it's like, are we ever going to win again?
Yeah.
And this is a good team. The Pelicans have 46 wins. Okay, but when you get into those type of funks, Gus, it's like, how in the world are we going to get out of it? Well, you know how you get out of it? Where your big time players make big time plays and win games on the road like that. And, you know, I guess kind of lost in the whole shuffle of this, and I'm really rambling right now. You know, you look at their big three, they played well. I mean, all three of those guys, I mean, Bradley Beal led the way with 33, Booker had 25, and Durant had 23.
Yeah.
But they weren't very efficient. Now, Bradley Beal was 13 of 19, but Devin Booker, we didn't really talk about this, Devin Booker scored 25 points, which is half of what he's been averaging against us
on
the last three games. He was 0 for 6 from 3.
Yep.
And the game a week ago, literally a week ago in the Smoothie King Center, he set his career high of 8 threes in that 52-point performance. But it was just a tremendous effort all the way around, and one that was sorely, sorely needed.
Speaking of that performance on defense, we're going to get back to Z, but how big was this guy?
I asked him. I said, you know, let me guard him. You know, let me get him frustrated. Let me take him off fouls. Let me get him tired. He's a good player. He's going to score, you know. But try to just make everything difficult for him. And, you know, we did a good job, I guess, for him to have 25 points, you know. You know, if I had 25, I think I'd have a good game. You know, for him, we made sure that's probably a bad 25. But, I want that assignment.
I would ask you just about his performance offensively, defensively, but gotta love how the Pels get two technical fouls called on him when Devin Booker is shoving Dyson Daniels around.
Isn't it crazy where after all of that, you know, and I said it was going to happen. I said they're going to call a double technical foul here.
You did.
Be a bailout. I did not know that they were going to give Jose the technical, which they did. And out of all of that, the scrum, the whole deal, the Suns actually got a plus one out of it.
It's amazing how that happens.
Scheme of things, because Booker made the technical, which of course he just going.
But in all honesty, man, how needed was what he brought? Not obviously five threes, but, my goodness, but the energy, the defense, that mindset. He said he told Z, the dog is back, go out and do that. Dude, you needed that so bad yesterday.
Well, again, you've been missing this, Gus, and Jose is essential to the success of this team. He just is. Coming off the bench, providing sparks, and he did it again in the second quarter yesterday. You know, knocking threes down, playing the type of defense that he did. He's just a pest, and I say that in with all due respect.
Yeah.
He is literally the type of guy who you love when he's on your team and you hate when he is not. And, you know, you needed every single one of those threes that he hit, and he hit a season-high five, but the way he played defensively just really agitated Booker and everybody else for that matter. And look, he's never going to back down. That's his personality. He wants to get in the mix. You know, he's going to jump. Like, you see Dyson Daniels and Devin Booker going at it, and Zion's there too, and all of a sudden Jose's coming in from nowhere. I mean, he's like the littlest guy out on the floor. And he's just up in everybody's face. So, look, you've been missing that the last couple of games, Gus. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence. And talked about this too post game with JD about, you know, the mental side of things and just getting some positive news on Brandon Ingram before we flew out to Phoenix. And then knowing before the game that Zion and Jose were going to play, you know, mentally, that had to be a big lift for the team. And they played that way. So, again, whatever it takes, man, whatever it takes. And yesterday, but you can't understate it, Gus, because if you don't win the game yesterday, it's not – you're not totally out of it, but you have dug yourself a major, major hole trying to get into the top six because Phoenix has the tiebreak on you, and you've got to go one game ahead of them. And falling two games back in the loss column with four to play against Phoenix, I mean, that makes it incredibly difficult to try to get a top six. Now you put yourself back into a position where you can get it, and to some extent you control your own destiny again.
Yeah.
Phoenix schedule is not easy down the stretch, and you know, they're playing the Clippers twice the next two games, so you know, we'll see what happens there. But now you can say to yourself, all right, if we can get some wins here, we got four games left, and the more you win, the better chance you have to get into that top six. And if you lose yesterday, that's almost out the window.
Suns play the Clippers at home, at the Clippers the very next day, then at Sacramento, at Minnesota, the Mavericks, at Charlotte, at Miami, Detroit, at OKC, tied just by number of games. I don't think five is realistic because they have the tiebreaker. They beat Houston yesterday. You lost to San Antonio, so you would lose with the same record by the division. So it looks like six to me. When it looks at the Kings, you got at OKC, New Orleans, Phoenix, Portland, but you have a game on them. So while you're only a game up, it's really two because you have the season series. Then you got the Lakers, who miraculously only have three games left, Golden State, Memphis, and New Orleans. But again, that's why tomorrow, Todd, if you win, it's just going to be harder for the Lakers and them to go and pass you up and stuff. That's why now, all of a sudden, as you keep saying, or as Drew Brees used to say all the time here, the next game is the big game, right? Because you take care of business tomorrow, that's one game shorter for anybody else to pass you.
That's correct. And as you just said, with the Lakers playing Golden State tomorrow, if the Pelicans win, one of those teams is going to lose. So you're going to gain a game on somebody. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you know, by some unfortunate circumstance, if, you know, we don't get top six, well, then what do you want to do? You need to be seven or eight. Mm-hmm. Seven, you know, and I see this tongue in cheek, but you know, that would assure you hosting two games.
Yeah.
Even though the home record, you know, but I'd much rather have two cracks at it if you're not in the top six, as either the 7 or the 8, than obviously the 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And who knows? And now if say the Lakers beat Golden State. Golden State, it's going to be very difficult for them to move up from 10th. So do they just shut it down the rest? You know, do they just shut it down?
Yeah.
And, of course, we're playing them on Friday night in San Francisco. And then if you look at the Lakers, if the Lakers lose, are they going to be able to move up to a spot that they want to be? And, of course, we're playing them on Sunday. Do they start resting players, even though LeBron did not play last night with illness and Anthony Davis left the game in the first quarter? Trust me, we were all watching on the plane.
Don't worry, they'll be healthy Sunday. They'll be good to go.
Pulling for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who did come through last night. But, no, then you start to think about all that. But none of that matters if you don't win your own games. And that's really where everything started yesterday.
Well, what's incredible, too, and again, we could talk another 25, 30 minutes on this, but I don't know who you're even playing if you're the six, because Minnesota and Denver are tied 1-2.
Right.
The Thunder are one game back, and they're all playing one another. So I mean, it's coming down to Sunday.
No, it's true. And all three of those teams, they want to be the number one seed.
No doubt.
They are legitimately playing for that. So they're not resting anybody.
Yeah, because that's home court throughout.
So, correct. So, and all three of those teams have very, very good home court records. So they're going to be playing all the way through Sunday, not resting anybody. And, you know, again, it's just, oh, man, yesterday got you back legitimately into the mix. And that's really the best part, other than Zion Williamson playing the best game of his NBA career.
And that's what I was going to close up. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, look. And not only that, not all the numbers. And, again, we said this during the game, Doug. Or right after, and JD and I were like, that's the best game he's played as a pro. When you look at the points, and by the way, he made 7 straight free throws after missing his first. He got a double-double, he had 7 assists, he had a career-high 5 blocks, he played 40 minutes, and Gus, it was a game you absolutely had to have. When you think about the circumstances surrounding the game itself and the numbers he put up, without question, it was the best game of his career.
Todd Raffanini, as always, appreciate the time, sir. See what happens tomorrow, buddy.
I'll be there. Don't look at the sun.
I'm not. Well, I got my glasses in front of me, but it's cloudy. Ain't nobody can see nothing.
It's cloudy here, too.
What a shame. Well, it was sunny over there in Phoenix, if you get my drift. See what I did there? As the Pels defeat the Suns. Coming up next, we'll talk a little NOLA goal. Thank you, Graf. As Nick Calling will join us next on ESPN New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. As Buddy Vink give Nick Calling a buzz, NOLA Gold, we can talk a little. Okay. Don't see it on my screen. Sorry about that. Nick, are you with us, bud?
Yeah, I'm with you, Gus.
Cool. So Saturday, you guys were excited to get back on the pitch in terms of, you know, having spent the week in a bye week and not having played there and taking on a Chicago team that, as Ryan Fitzgerald was saying on Friday, just had a couple of tough losses, but were really playing well. You guys come up a little bit short and don't get the victory. What did you see on Saturday?
Yeah, so, you know, Chicago's a really talented team. We knew that was going to be one of those games that their record did not fully represent what type of team they were. They were going to be hungry. They were going to come out and try to really, really show that they're not, you know, what their record says. And we fully expected it. It was just one that first half came out, looked really strong, a lot of bending and not breaking. Then a few things happened in the second half. We got given a red card, which in rugby is it's unlike any U.S. sport where basically, you know, if a player gets ejected from an NBA game, you still get to put on five players onto the court. But in rugby, if you're given a yellow card, you're suspended essentially for 10 minutes of play.
Mm-hmm.
You sit on the sideline and your team is playing with 14 players on 15. And if you then get a red card, that time is for 20 minutes and that player is ejected from the game. So we had a red card. We're down to 14 on 15 men for 20 minutes. And then 8 minutes into that red card, we got a consecutive yellow, which then led to, 10 minutes a game played with 13 on 15 guys. And it's a wide field. There's a lot of space to run around. Unfortunate accidents, but it's part of the game. And, really was tough trying to overcome that. And that's kind of at the point that bending and not breaking became the opposite. They came breaking instead of bending.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, that is something people in the New Orleans era can understand. The officials were out to get you. I mean, that's your theory on what took place on Saturday. I love that. We can go with that, Nick. No, look, that's tough to overcome when you, A, don't have players to be able to do that and do that. Was it just Chicago playing a physical style of ball, or was it just kind of, hey, things like that happen sometimes in the game?
Yeah, it was a combination of the two. Like, Chicago did play very physical. They have a very, like I said, talented, but not only talented, but experienced team. You know, they have a player that is played for Ireland. Ireland is currently ranked as one of the top international nations in the world for rugby. That he's played over, 30, 40 games with Ireland. So they have a lot of experience in their team, and you really could see different parts where some of those players off the bench, that youth was a little bit exposed. Certain things that just kind of began compounding. It's an unfortunate one. Definitely tons of lessons that we took out of it. And it is one game out of 16. We're still quite positive that, this is not by any means how theme of, the second part of the season in which after the bye week. But it's definitely one that, kind of a wake-up call that we were pretty confident going in. Sometimes you get hit in the mouth. It doesn't feel good, but you kind of have to take it, and you learn your lesson and come back hopefully better on the other side.
And then this week you go on the road and take on the San Diego Legion. What can you tell us about them?
San Diego, very similar team to Chicago, which they have a lot of very experienced players. Arguably, some people may make the argument they have a player in Mananu, who is possibly basically the LeBron James of rugby. He is absolutely a superstar in the world, played for the New Zealand All Blacks, the infamous New Zealand All Blacks, has played, probably close to 100 international test matches through his career. He is also, like LeBron James, getting up there in age. He's, I believe, 42 years, and which is incredible to me to be playing a game with such physicality at that age. But he keeps on doing it, and he's phenomenal at it. So, like I said, similar team to Chicago, once they have that lots of experience, they have that discipline, that rugby IQ. It's one that we're hoping that, we've learned some of the lessons from this past game, and we can go and give them a scare on the road.
Right. Well, what else did you notice in MLR around the league over the weekend? Any surprises to you?
Yeah, so a little follow-up with Anthem. Anthem, who we played in the second week, they still are winless, but now for two consecutive weeks, they've actually been leading at halftime against their opponent. And it's one that, big kudos to them. They're continuing to grow as a team. Really speaks to, there is a lot of people out there in America that, you know, can be at this professional level of rugby, and it's all about developing. So I think it's a really good thing to continue to watch them grow over the year and become more and more competitive. And there will be a team that probably overlooks them, and they can sneak up on somebody. So we have them in 3 weeks, so we're hoping that's not us. We're going to do everything we can to fully prepare for that.
Nick, as always, man, appreciate the time, and folks can go over and check out the team over on the team webpage, as it is very simply NOLAGoldRugby.com. We'll speak with Coach Corey Brown on Wednesday. Nick, as always, appreciate the time you give us on Mondays at 12:45. Thank you.
Thank you, Gus.
Appreciate it. So the goal will look to pick up a win on the road this week over at San Diego. As we said, we'll talk with head coach Corey Brown coming up on Wednesday. Touched on the Pels. Touched on women's basketball. Rafael Esparza is going to join us at 1:15 to preview tonight's Purdue-UConn battle, 8:20 tip time central for the men's national championship. And then last night, the big news that kind of dropped, comes coming home from the Pels, and I'm like, I'm sorry, what? John Calipari, as he is leaving Kentucky to go to Arkansas. And Smolcemin left Arkansas last week, or earlier this week, I think, to USC to be the head coach over there. So, Pete Thamel from ESPN, how it all came to be?
I think you have to start with John Calipari's status at Kentucky. Kentucky sort of welcomed him back begrudgingly after the Oakland loss. They've obviously had a series of postseason failures, be it in the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament. And it was sort of an awkward marriage moving forward. There have been jobs that have been open that John Calipari had sent feelers out earlier in this cycle. And if we know anything about John Calipari in his history, he wants to be wanted. And clearly at Arkansas, they want him. And part of that is a long relationship he has with a man by the name of John Tyson. We all know Tyson Chicken from our freezer aisle. And John Calipari has a longstanding relationship with that billionaire who's been a longtime benefactor of Arkansas Athletic. And that relationship helped bridge the way for this deal. Obviously, Hunter Yurecek, the Arkansas Athletic Director, was at the forefront of pushing forward. But the relationship between Tyson and Calipari, for as long as it had happened, made this possible. And, the side's been talking for at least the last 24 hours. And while the deal is not completely ink dry done, it is being finalized, and it's expected to come together at some point tomorrow. A 5-year, and I've been told, incentive laden deal. The base salary will probably be slightly lower than the $8.5 million that he's making at Kentucky with incentives. It could go higher than that. And Arkansas has landed themselves, the biggest brand coach in all of college athletics, or in all of college basketball, anyway.
There you go. Hour one was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast. Kayaks, they got them there as well. 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. The website, NoWakeOutfitters.com. We will be there on Friday. There'll be special demonstrations, sales on camo, winter gear, you name it. So stop on by on Friday. We will be doing the show live from Airline Drive there over at No Wake Outfitters. Give us a buzz. Ruderman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. Pels fans, I want to hear from you. I saw West Bank Rick over at the official watch party yesterday. A couple of guys out there. TJ, who calls in on the show as well. Good to see you and say hi. Thank you for doing that. So I want to hear from you. What do y'all think? I'm saying it. Graf has said it. A lot of people tweeted it last night. Was that the best game that you've seen Zion Williamson play as a New Orleans Pelican? We'll go back and look at it, hear what he has to say here as well. You're listening to a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Home health services in South Lafourche are vital right now. Look no further than Lady of the Sea Home Health, where the sick, the elderly, and the homebound, our caring staff, makes each day a little brighter, a little better. With quality health care and warm, genuine support, you and your loved ones are the